Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of OEM TV. I'm Eric Mills. I do Windows Server Marketing at Microsoft. And today we're going to get to talk about Remote Desktop Services, RDS, with Keith Mayer. How are you doing, Keith?
I'm doing great, Eric. How are you today? Thanks for having me on the show again.
I'm well, my friend. It's sunny in Seattle in February.
Can't ask for much more than that.
Right. I have nothing to complain about. No stormy weather for me, my friend. So Keith, we get to talk about Remote Desktop Services today. RDS is one of the most popular features of Windows Server. It's been around for a long time. It used to be called Terminal Services. So if you guys know Terminal Services, you know RDS. RDS is a much less morbid name for the technology. So hope you like Remote Desktop Services. Keith, have you been using Remote Desktop Services for a long time?
Oh, yeah. Since the early days when it was first available in NT Server. And in addition, as many of our viewers probably use, they use different components of Remote Desktop Services just for whether it's providing applications to their end users remotely or whether it's doing remote support back into their enterprise environments, for instance. Yep.
Yeah, so, it's just been around for a long time. It's such an awesome, useful set of technologies, and I do get a lot of questions about it, so I'm really looking forward to this episode, and I hope everyone else is too. Keith, to start out, could you just clear the air on what RDS is and what it isn't and how it compares to some of the other remote access technologies that Microsoft has?
Yeah, definitely. So Remote Desktop Services is really focused around providing a platform that can run on top of Windows Server. And so with 2016, it's been revised. What that platform of services do is they deliver remote applications, remote Windows applications, or entire remote desktop environments to users that are perhaps out in the field, remotely connected to the internet or over a VPN back to their office, or they could be sitting in their enterprise office using a thin client device, right, instead of a full PC, accessing their Windows applications and their Windows desktop through that Remote Desktop Services interface. And so it's a way of taking applications that are running on Windows servers and projecting those application UIs and transferring mouse and keyboard interfaces back and forth from whatever device the user's sitting on, whether it's a Windows PC running the remote desktop client or an iOS Android device that's running one of the versions of remote desktop, or a Linux device or a Mac OS X device running remote desktop, or as you mentioned, a thin client. So when we think about remote application delivery, remote desktop delivery, that's the core focus around Remote Desktop Services. But as you mentioned, Eric, there's a number of additional remote access technologies that the Windows ecosystem has available. So there's Remote Access Services, or RAS, which has also been around for a long time. And that focuses on a little bit different type of remote access scenario. Rather than connecting in and having your applications and desktop kind of remoted to you, like they are with RDS, with Remote Access Services, you're using a internet connection, or in the old days, a dial-up connection, to establish a live network connection into your environment so that your applications still run on your local PC, but when they need to access back-end database services or back-end file services or whatnot, they're going over that RAS connection, which is building a secure tunnel, either over the internet or some type of other on-demand interface, to access those services. You can think of RAS as kind of falling into the VPN category that is widely known throughout the industry. We have another type of VPN technology that's embedded in Windows Client as well as Windows Server called Direct Access that provides more of a seamless experience. And that's kind of going through the process of being uplifted with Windows 10 into kind of more of an auto VPN client instead of Direct Access. But that's another client VPN connection that doesn't require you as a user to know that you're necessarily bringing up a remote connection like you would have to with RAS. Instead, it's figuring out when to on-demand bring that connection up based on if you're accessing internet applications or intranet applications. And then there's some other technologies as well that are involved in application delivery, like AppV is a good example. You know, AppV is about packaging up applications into deployable packages that are very easy to distribute to users. AppV could be used to distribute those applications to traditional Windows clients, or they're frequently used inside remote desktop services environments as well, so that when we have to make updates to applications in a remote desktop services environment, rather than having to roll out new RDS images or whatnot, we can use AppV to have a more agile way of being able to distribute those application updates. There's a couple other technologies as well that started out in some of the small business versions of Windows Server and have gradually evolved over to other Windows Server SKUs. Multipoint services is a portion of remote desktop services in Windows Server now that provides that remote application delivery, not to Windows client devices or iOS or Android devices, but instead it allows you to use very low cost, like USB keyboard and mice and multi-port video cards, to have a very inexpensive way of delivering a multi-user remote application, remote desktop environment to multiple people in a small kind of classroom environment. We see a lot of its use cases in kind of education or small like manufacturing scenarios where you have workers that are in a small office next to each other, but they each need to have their own terminal, quote unquote, if you will. So multi-point services is in there as well. And then in the kind of the small business editions of Windows Server, there was a remote web access feature set that kind of grew up through Small Business Server into the later Windows SKUs that were aligned to the SMB market. And remote web access kind of takes a number of different access technologies. Remote desktop services is kind of under the covers supplying some of that. There's also some integration with Outlook Web Access and some additional web portal capabilities for management purposes that allows a small business user or IT admin to use remote web access to have a single portal into their server back at their office and then use that to access, you know, their email and calendar via web browser, or jump into a remote desktop type environment for running real Windows applications. So lots of different technologies, and I guess the unifying factor is that remote desktop services provides, in many of those cases, sort of the base platform for launching remote application and remote desktop delivery to remote users.
Wow. Nice, Keith. Hey, on behalf of IT pros all over the world, I want to thank you for that answer, because trying to unravel all these different remote access technologies, I mean, it's not easy. So I want to try to recap and see if I heard you correctly.
Sure.
Because that was a very extensive answer there. So you talked about remote access services and now kind of a direct access and auto VPN, which is a way to connect to a private network and give you network connection. But it doesn't give you any of the kind of desktop user interface stuff that RDS gives you.
Right.
And then you talked about you talked about AppV, which is a way to deliver the applications virtually. Yep. That can work with RDS, with or without RDS.
Yep.
You talked about multipoint, which is a way to make multiple desktops through video cards that have a lot of outputs and plugging in a lot of mice and keyboards into a single PC or server. Very common in the education sector. And did I get them all?
And then remote web access.
So that's the remote technology in Windows Server Essentials Edition that lets you kind of access your PC from home. If you leave your PC at work, you can access it from home and get access to your files and your calendar and some of your applications. But it's still not a full, you know, desktop experience like what you get with RDS.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Good. Well, good stuff. So now let's really talk about RDS. So, you know, remote desktop services with Windows Server 2016, you know, one of the biggest reasons why people use it is because it's fairly fast at delivering that user application, just the user interface without all the processing. And it gives you access to, you know, applications that are running on the server right from your thin client or your PC or whatever. But performance has not always been great. Sometimes it's slow. Sometimes the colors may not work out right. So what's new with performance in Windows Server 2016 for remote desktop services?
Yeah, there's been a ton of additions, improvements in RDS in Windows Server 2016 around performance, particularly around graphics-intensive applications. You think about offices that are trying to do applications that are very video-intensive. They could be 2D or 3D engineering applications. They could be live video streaming-type applications. Really anything that's really exercising the graphics capabilities of the Windows operating system. And in older versions of RDS, that used to tax the CPU of the remote desktop server quite heavily. With Windows Server 2016, there's been a substantial investment around GPU, graphics processing unit acceleration, so that if you have a video card that has a supported GPU accelerator built onto it, it can take that GPU and divide it across multiple user sessions in an RDS server to help accelerate video rendering. So that, you know, if it's a scenario where before maybe that box could only support one user or two users, you can start scaling that to double or triple or in some cases quadruple the capacity with much lower overall CPU utilization, because a lot of that offload is happening, a lot of that offload of video requests is now being offloaded from the main CPU over to the graphics processing unit. There's also been improved compatibility for graphics-intensive programs that are used to having a GPU on a local single-user PC that they access. So, you know, commonly those types of applications use a graphics library like OpenGL or DirectX, or they may have a DirectCUDA driver, for instance, for natively accessing the GPU. And all of those scenarios can now be supported with remote desktop services in Windows Server 2016. GPU cards are becoming more and more readily available as add-ons to a server configuration for those very reasons, for being able to accelerate those really graphics-intensive applications. So on the server side, there's been some huge improvements, but on the client side, there's also been a new version of the remote desktop client, the 10X version, that has new codecs built into it to make the processing and handling of those graphics-intensive applications much more efficient on the client side and across the wire as well. And so there's been some big improvements in both of those areas, both server and client, to help accelerate performance.
Nice. So when most people think about GPUs, it's mostly gamers trying to get the maximum out of their PCs. And I'm sure none of those people are watching this, so they don't know anything about GPUs. But when you're talking about GPU cards for servers, is it the same companies that make the desktop GPU cards? And are there server-specific GPU cards that work well with RDS?
There are. Usually what you'll find is, particularly in larger server environments, the GPU cards will often be a video card that has actually multiple GPUs on them. And that way they can have the ability to offload, say, you know, four users to one GPU, four users to another GPU, so on and so forth. And so they're higher density cards generally that take advantage of the server's faster, you know, PCI Express bus and whatnot. But be sure to take a look at the GPU compatibility list, right, for Windows Server 2016 to make sure that when you're looking at server GPUs, you're selecting one that's been tested with these new capabilities in Windows Server 2016 for RDS.
Makes sense. So I know historically, heavy applications that relied heavily upon graphics like AutoCAD and things like that, we didn't really recommend that you ran on RDS. Is it getting to a point now where you can run just about any supported application through RDS?
Yeah, just about anything. AutoCAD, other 2 and 3D rendering and engineering applications. Now, depending on how intensive that application is, as I mentioned, it does offload quite a bit from the main CPU to the GPU. But depending on how graphically intensive that application is, your density of users may not be the same as an RDS server that's just running common office apps, right? So you may have a lower density as terms of the number of concurrent users that can run those graphic intensive applications on the same RDS server. But when you compare the cost of an RDS server that's supporting even, you know, four concurrent users or eight concurrent users with these super graphically intensive applications, compared to the cost of four or eight high-end engineering workstations, there's generally a cost savings both on the initial procurement side as well as on the ongoing maintenance side.
Sure. Makes sense. Another reason why people love RDS so much. Let's talk about scale for just a minute. You know, like what's new with scale with Windows Server 2016 and the number of people that can actually, you know, get work done through RDS?
Yeah, that's a great question. So back in the prior versions of Windows Server, you know, RDS typically scaled, depending on the release of Windows Server, up to somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 to maybe a low thousands number of concurrent users, which worked well for a lot of small and mid-size environments, but there were a lot of environments that had massive RDS farms where they wanted to be able to support 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000 concurrent users in an RDS farm environment. And back before Windows Server 2016, we really couldn't deliver on that in a single RDS farm. And when we went back and did some analysis, what our engineering team found is a lot of that hinged around performance and scale issues within a component of RDS called the RDS Connection Broker, which is the component that kind of routes users to a particular backend remote desktop server and sort of load balances those users across sessions. What we used to see is, you know, we used to call it the kind of the logon frenzy that occurs at like 9 a.m. or 1 p.m. when everybody comes to work or everybody comes back from lunch and tries to sit down and log in. That causes a huge increase in the amount of traffic going through those connection brokers. And so that dictated how many concurrent connections they can really handle and scale across backend remote desktop session host servers. So there was some specific focus around tuning the remote desktop connection brokers and also making those connection brokers able to handle efficient connections into shared SQL clusters. It used to be that in the old days, before Windows Server 2016, you had to have kind of a SQL server or a SQL cluster for every RDS connection broker pair in an RDS farm, which contributed to cost as well. And so now we've got the ability to take those RDS connection brokers and have them go back to a shared SQL farm that's being leveraged for other applications, other database applications as well, to make things more efficient. But based on those changes with the connection broker, what we were able to see based, you know, from our own internal load testing is the concurrent load skyrocketed up to close to 10,000 concurrent user sessions. Wow. For Windows Server 2016 with RDS. So even really large enterprise scale can now be handled with Windows Server 2016 remote desktop services. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, so you're talking about one single RDS farm supporting, yep, almost 10,000 concurrent users.
Yeah, yep, concurrent, exactly. Session. Right.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
It is. All right, so performance, scale. Let's talk about cloud integration with RDS. Like, does RDS work with some of the things we have up in Azure?
Yeah, definitely. You know, in a lot of environments have a big investment in remote desktop services in their on-prem environment, right? But what we're seeing is many of those environments having interest in leveraging Azure either as a disaster recovery location or as a farm, an additional farm that they can spin up more elastically to scale out if their on-prem environment starts getting hit under heavy load, where they can redirect some people up to a kind of a cloud, temporary cloud RDS farm, right? And so building out a separate RDS farm in Azure prior to Windows Server 2016 involved quite a lot of VMs to handle kind of the base infrastructure around connection brokers and gateways and web access interfaces and licensing servers and whatnot. And so with Windows Server 2016, what the team did is they went back and said, how can we align RDS better to these cloud deployments to reduce the cost and the number of infrastructure components that are required up in Azure that are you're paying for as they're running, right? And so there were some changes made to allow remote desktop services, instead of needing a SQL server or a SQL server cluster for the connection broker database, well, it can now just attach to an Azure SQL database, which is our SQL PaaS offering, our platform offering that you can spin up very easily and very cheaply. So that alone eliminated one or two expensive VMs out of the configuration for running RDS in Azure in these disaster recovery or scale to the cloud scenarios. And then some of the other components were things like Active Directory, domain controller VMs. Well, what we've done is we've made RDS available compatible with Azure Active Directory domain services, the ability to project domain controller platform appliances from your Azure Active Directory tenant into your Azure virtual network that your RDS farm is running in. So that eliminates a couple more VMs out of the equation. And then we looked at ways of packing together some of those common RDS infrastructure services like connection brokers, licensing services, gateway, and web into a lower number of VMs. So we've basically about halved the number of VMs, so about 50%, right, less VMs necessary from an infrastructure standpoint to run an RDS farm, so that more of the focus can be on the remote desktop session host VMs that are actually running the applications, right? And you have less of this infrastructure overhead. That's made it super easy to be able to leverage RDS. The other focuses that the engineering team have had is to take RDS farm environments and make them, as if you need them for disaster recovery or scale purposes, make them super easy to provision up in Azure. We've created a set of ARM templates, Azure Resource Manager templates, that you fill out a few parameters, click to deploy, and it connects to your Azure subscription and deploys Active Directory if you need that. It connects to your SQL. It deploys your connection broker, your licensing services. It deploys the VMs that are necessary. It deploys the workloads on those VMs. And in just a little while, you'll have a full RDS-based farm up and running. In fact, if anyone's interested in checking it out, they can go out to the Azure Marketplace and see a real easy quick start template that they can use to help them get that launched. So that's made it really easy as well. And then, to finish that off, our RDS team has also developed an auto-scaling script that can run on the connection broker in Azure. So if you're looking to do things like scale, kind of burst from on-prem out to Azure, you may not need a big farm environment running 24/7. You just need a few VMs running all the time. And then when you start bursting out there, this script that runs on the connection broker can monitor your load and automatically spin up additional remote desktop session host servers as needed. So that way, when you're thinking about, hey, do I go and build a disaster recovery location and put a mirror image of what I have in my production location there? Or do I use the cloud as a more cost-effective disaster recovery solution? All of these changes have really collaborated together to make the Azure cloud a great solution for those disaster recovery and kind of burst to cloud RDS scenarios.
Nice. That is some really cool stuff. I love how if people want to run RDS on-prem like they've done, we've made it faster, more scalable, and just easier. And if they want to run it in the cloud, that ARM template sounds amazing to be able to deploy all that stuff, plus the reduction in virtual machines required. That's so cool. And then you want to do a combination? Hey, you can do that too. Yep. That's a great story for IT pros. A great story for partners and customers. So I wasn't expecting all of that, but thank you for telling us all about it. I also want to cover licensing just really quickly for RDS, because there's a little bit of confusion about, you know, how you license remote desktop services. It is built into Windows Server Standard and Data Center. So if you want to run RDS, you know, you buy Windows Server 2016 Standard or Data Center, and you have what you need, all the components that you need to run the server software for that. But each user or device that connects to an RDS session needs what is called an RDS CAL or RDS Client Access License. This is a different CAL from your Windows Server CAL. So you need both of those. So you buy your Windows Server licenses, you buy your Windows Server user or device CALs, and then you buy your RDS CALs, and that allows you to connect to Windows Server RDS. Now those RDS CALs, they do, Keith, I don't know if you want to talk about the licensing server a little bit, but you know the RDS CALs do have product keys on them. And so it's not something that you can fudge. You have to have RDS CALs to right. get in and make it work. And if you're trying to connect and it's not working, that may be the reason why.
Right. Yep. You have to activate them on the licensing server. There's a grace period that we provide, but once that grace period is up, it's up. And right. The licenses need to be activated. Yep.
Right. Okay, Keith, if people want to learn more about RDS, is there some place that they can go, or should they just go to TechNet? Like, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, TechNet is a great starting point. Go to the library on TechNet, look for Windows Server 2016, and then you'll drill into, under Windows Server 2016 in the compute area, Remote Desktop Services. And under the nice thing is the RDS team has done a great job of taking the documentation for RDS that's appropriate for on-prem as well as Azure deployments, and then also adding in the additional Delta documentation that's specific to deploying in the Azure cloud. They've organized that all together in that one area on TechNet, in the TechNet library, so it makes it a really convenient place to go to find out the details on designing and implementing RDS solutions on Windows Server.
All right, cool. Hey, everybody, that's Keith Mayer dropping knowledge bombs on you about remote desktop services. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of OEM TV. We'll see you next time.